Jesus, please help me. That is the message today. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Again, Jesus says in Matthew 11, 20 through 30, he gives the invitation to all of humanity to come to him. And that's the invitation that Christ still gives every single day. You know, you are invited to many things. You may be invited to parties. You are invited to weddings. You are invited to dinners. You are invited to so many different things. You're invited to join a company to go work for them. You're invited to, you know, you name it. The invitations in your life will go on and on and on and on. Amen? I was invited to a 50th wedding anniversary last Saturday, two Saturdays ago, and I'm glad I went because it was so good to see people that you have not seen in years. And not only that, but just to be with family and to just also to have some good food. Amen. All right. And especially, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be invited, for people to think of you, to want you to share with them in their most special occasion. And so this is Jesus who thinks of you, and he is inviting you to an incredible opportunity that only he can provide. He gives life. And so many of us are chewed up and spit out by this world. And I'm telling you, if you allow the world, it will destroy your life. It will. But Jesus, who knows the beginning and the end, says, "Come to me. I know you're tired. I'll give you rest." He is not a liar or a lunatic. He is telling the truth. And so Jesus does this. How does he say, "Come to me"? What does that mean, coming to Jesus? That means coming to Jesus in so many different ways. It means coming to Jesus in the form of knowing the word, the scripture, studying it, believing it, applying it, through a time of praying and fasting, through a time of Christian fellowship, through a time of just meditating on the Lord, staying still and separating yourself from the dramas of the world, separating yourself from the cares of this world, and concerning yourself about the things of heaven. Because the Bible does say, let your mind dwell on things above, not on things that are below and on the earth. And so though you may be walking the earth and you may be in the earth, there is a way through the power of the Holy Spirit that you can be in heaven even now. Amen. And that is what means come to him. You're working, you labor. God knows you're laboring because he told Adam, from now on, the ground is going to be cursed and you're going to have to work by your blood, sweat, and tears. Amen. Can I get a test? Amen on that? Amen. Amen. So God knows that you're going to have blood, sweat, and tears because he didn't want to put it on you. We put it on us as a whole of humanity by disobeying God. And so now it's there, but God still provides a way to say, I know you're working, I know you're having to go through trials, tribulations, but I will give you rest. I will, you know, learn from me, he says. Take what I have that you can take with you, and you can live in a dark, chaotic world, but still have the joy of God. Still have a skip in your step. Amen? Amen. Amen. Are you excited about the Lord this morning?
Yes.
Come on, church. Some of you are just, you've lost your joy. Some of you online, you've allowed the enemy to take and take and take. And I'm here to encourage you and tell you today that God is in the business of restoring and rededicating things back unto him. He loves you. He loves you. And he's not done with you yet. The message is entitled, "Jesus, please help me." There was a man that was in trouble. He had known to be a thief his whole life. He stole, he stole, he stole. And it came to a point in time where he met this other thief and he was stealing with him. And the next thing you know, they were caught. They were put on trial and they were put on the cross. And his friend was mocking this man who was supposedly to be the Messiah of Israel. And this other thief, he looked at this Messiah and he came to realize this is God. And he cried out. First he said, "If you really are God, get yourself off of this cross." But as the day began to go on and the hours began to go on, and he saw the hurt in the people who were walking up to the cross, to the Roman soldiers that were there, he began to see the power of God as the Christ was on the cross. And before he died, this thief cried out in Luke 23, 42 through 43. This thief says to Jesus, he says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And what does that translate in our English? It's, "Jesus, please help me. Help me, Lord." And Jesus said in verse 43, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Rescuing happens instantly. Amen. Hallelujah. It happens instantly. Praise God. It happens instantly. Leprosy was a very big deal back in the day. Today it seems like leprosy is taking hold once again. Leprosy is a form of skin disease. And back in the biblical times, it would kill you. Slow death, torturous. Not only that, but in every biblical city in the day, there was always a community outside of the city reserved just for the lepers. You had to stay out there and be on your own. You had to fend for yourself, get your own food, get your own water. Don't come into the city, stay away from us. You're leprous, you have a disease, you're cursed. Stay away from us. In Luke 17, 11 through 19, it says, "Now it happened as Jesus went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met Jesus 10 men who were lepers and who stood afar away. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" You see, they were far away. They were away from the gate of the city, the entrance to the city. "And they saw Jesus. They had heard about Jesus. They knew that he was going from town to town and healing people. And these 10 men said, 'Have mercy on us.'" They were sick. They were outcasts. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with them. So verse 14 says that when Jesus saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that they went away and that they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, that he returned with a loud voice and glorified God. And he fell down at his face, on his face, at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. He was not even accepted to the Jews, even though himself he had that heritage within him, his race, but he was not accepted with the Jewish people. But of those 10, he was the only one. It says here, Jesus answered and said to him, "Are there not 10 that were cleansed? But where are the 9? Now I want to just stop here for a moment. Jesus didn't say, "Be healed." Jesus didn't say, "Be healed." Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priest." Look, I want you, back then in the day, when you had a cleansing, when you were deemed dirty, physically, spiritually, and there would be a cleaning of you, a purification process, you were healed, whatever it may be, you had to go show yourself to the priest. And they had to verify that you were now welcome back into the community. You hear this? So Jesus looked at these guys and said, "Go show yourself to the priest." He didn't say, "Be healed." He just said, "Go show yourself to the priest." They went as they journeyed, as they walk to the priest, they're cleansed. Today, the priest is Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus is our high priest. As you walk to Jesus, you're cleansed. Somebody say amen. If you walk away from Jesus, but if you walk to Jesus, you'll find healing. Amen. Jesus said, "Where are the other 9? Verse 18, were there not anyone else found to return to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus looked to the man and said, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. He got the healing that he really needed. A lot of us are wanting to get physically healed, but we neglect the spiritual healing. The other nine were physically healed, but they did not recognize the healer. They were still in need of the Savior. So many of us, whether we're Christians or not, we look at the physical healing. We need physical healing, not realizing that it's the spiritual that God is after. And sometimes God will heal you physically to get to your spirit. And sometimes he won't heal you physically, but he'll still get to your spirit. You get what I'm saying today? So whether you get that healing or not, give your spirit to God. Give that faith to the Lord. And Jesus said to this man, now you're well. Your faith has made you well. These other nine were healed, but they were not made well. But it all began with, Jesus, please help me. And I believe that the Lord eventually worked with those other nine. I believe because Jesus touched them. And Jesus is not done with you. Jesus may have touched you, and you may have walked away from him, but you remember what he's done for you, and you'll come back to him. Don't forget when you cried out to the Lord that first time, and with a passion, he healed you. Don't forget what the Lord has done for you. That will always bring you back to where you need to be. Amen. In Luke 18, 35 through 43, look, I'm going to tell you something. Not everybody wants to be healed today. Some people still want to live in the filth of the world. Some people still don't believe that Jesus can truly heal them. Some people believe they're not worthy. If you believe, well, no, I'm not. I'm receiving what I get. It's because of my own stupidity, my own foolishness. Well, you know, my friend, let me just tell you something. If that's you saying that, shame. 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 I want you to pick up your head and look to Jesus and receive his invitation. Because he wants to set you free. He is inviting you. You know what? None of us deserve it. None of us deserve the healing. None of us deserve that coming to him. But by his grace and mercy, he says, come to me. So we should stop thinking we're not worthy. Even though we know it, we should not even utter that anymore. Because when Jesus stood before the tomb of Lazarus, ready to raise Lazarus from the dead, what did Jesus say? He said, Father, I thank you that you always hear me. Children of God, you need to get through your thick heads and thick hearts, stony hearts, that God is willing to hear you, but you need to be willing to hear him and follow him, you and you alone. He will help you. What do you want? In Luke 18, 35, it says, then it happened as Jesus was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging, verse 36, and hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told the blind man that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And the blind man cried out saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out more, Son of David, have mercy on me. I believe there's so many people in the church caught up in their theology. And theology and doctrine is so important. But the Bible does say that you can read too many books too. You got to let God be God. They were telling him to be quiet. Just like the disciples, go away from here, boy. Leave Jesus alone. The disciples would sometimes even try to push people away. And sometimes in the church, we push people away. But this man needed healing. And you know, sadly today, even some of God's people get in the way of God. Let us not be those people. So Jesus said in verse 40, Jesus stood still and he commanded the man to be brought to him. And when he had come near, Jesus asked him, saying, verse 41, "What do you want me to do for you?" You see, with the lepers, he just said, "Go show yourself to the priests." He didn't ask them. He said, "Just go." See, God knows everything before we even say it. But God is showing the formalities of some things here in our lives. Because sometimes some people don't want to be healed. They'll come into the church, they'll say, "Hallelujah, praise God," but they just will not receive the healing of the Lord. They will not surrender what needs to be surrendered to the Lord. And God will allow you to go all the way to being blind to get your attention. He'll allow the deepest cuts to come your way to get your attention. You know, let me stop right here. I'm getting older now, so now I forget what I'm saying. Sometimes I'll lose my place. Older people, y'all know what I'm talking about? Raise your hands. Say hello, hallelujah. There you go, Keith. Amen. I'm going to stop in verse 41 for a moment. But you remember Job? See, we were studying this Monday night. And for those who find themselves too busy to come on Monday night adult Bible study, let me just tell you what we talked about on Monday night. Satan came before God in Job chapter 1. And God asked him, "Where have you been?" God knew the answer. Satan said, "I'm going around here and there, to and fro." And God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And Satan says, yeah, he's blessed, but he's blessed because you protect him. You have a hedge around him. But take away all that, he'll curse you to your face. And God said, "Go ahead, do anything you want, but don't take his life." Do you see what a glimpse of spiritual warfare is in heaven? Satan had already been watching Job. That's why God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" See, this is how, and deep in between the lines, this is how it really went most likely. Satan comes up before the throne of God, and God says, "Hey, I know you've been over there watching Job. So what do you think? You think you can cause him to fail?" "Oh yeah, you think so, huh? Go ahead, try it. My servant loves me, and my servant will prove to all that he loves me, because I know what I've put into my servant. Go ahead, try to test Job. You'll tempt him, but I am testing him." And we know the story. Job went through all the physical things. He lost his children. He had a wife. I mean, I'm telling you something. The Bible says it's blessed is he that finds a good wife. Let me tell you something. There's some bad wives out there too. And that don't give you a reason to say, "Well, you know what? Pastor said you're a bad wife or you're a bad husband. I can get a divorce." No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that even his wife said, "Just curse God and die." And sometimes the whole world will come against you. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus, knowing that this is just a test, and this, listen, this too shall pass, you're gonna have victory. Because if you know what God's will is and you stick to the plan will prevail. I think about Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty. Y'all watch that? Pretty cool. His son now has a, where they go and treasure hunt. They have a little metal detector. And I've been watching those shows because those shows are clean. They're fun. It's so hard to find something clean on TV. But these guys are going around looking for treasure down in Louisiana all over the place. And the other day I looked to Anna, I paused the TV and said, "Anna, I'm going to go buy me a metal detector." She goes, "No, you're always like that, Michael. And I was like, "What if we have something in the back? I mean, this is an old property." But I know Phil Robertson went through all that he went through. But they stuck to the plan. And look how their family is a testimony to the world today with Christ. Job was a man who stuck to the plan. I mentioned this, what I just told you. I mentioned this yesterday at the men's group meeting. And we talked about this for a moment. How the devil will come to you and try and destroy your life. But if you keep your eyes on the Lord, knowing you need His help every single day. Look, why do we need to talk about sin every day? Why? Why do we need to be in a mindset of repentance of sin every day? Why? Because we face sin every day. We have to deal with sin every day. And that's why the core message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the repentance of sin. Yes, you're saved. Yes, you've been set free. But we still must stick to the repentance of sin, because it's still going to always try to work back in your life. Disobedience to God. Churches that don't preach that message, repentance of sin, they're just tickling ears. Understand that. John the Baptist said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And Jesus said it too with the Gospel Commission. So as we go back to verse 41, Jesus says to the blind man, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the man said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Look, some people know they're blind and they don't want to have nothing. They don't want to do nothing about it. This man was blind. Look, I honestly, this is just my opinion. Because Jesus asked this man, "What do you want me to do for you?" I believe that this man had lived a life rejecting God for so long. Healing had always been there, but he just didn't want it. But he came to a point in his life where he was tired of being tired. And Jesus brought up what the real problem was. The problem in this man's life was not that he was blind. It's just that he had to realize that who God is. And that's why Jesus said, "Are you ready now? You wanna try me now? Ask. What do you want me to do?" It's kind of like when you put your kid on timeout. I know my kids, they could tell you some stories. I would make them stand against the wall with their hands up like that. I would make them put their nose against the wall. "Don't move." Because, man, my kids, sometimes they get a little rowdy, you know? And so, you know, I would do things like that. And then when they were done, this was my way, because naturally, I just wanted to get the whatever I could and just tear their ears up. But that's not the way to do it. I've learned. As a parent, you know, yeah, there comes a point in time to discipline your children, but there's a godly way to do it. And so, after they were done, I would say, "Now, why were you on the wall? Why were you, let's talk about how you were, that spent the last 30 minutes being punished." See, that's God. God will say, "Okay, now let's talk. Why you spent the last 8 years, 10 years, 2 months living this way. Now let's talk about the reason. Let's bring it back up front and center." Our battle was not flesh and blood, but with powers of darkness. Sometimes our battle is just with ourselves, but sometimes we're fighting God. But this man said, "I want to receive my sight." Then Jesus said in verse 42, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." Isn't that what he told the leper that came back to him? And he said, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." Watch, that's twofold. Meaning, you just got a physical healing, and you also got a spiritual healing. You see that? Do you see the connection from the 10 lepers and this man right here? You just got a physical healing, but you also got a spiritual healing. Look, God can do anything physically, spiritually, but what God is truly after is the spiritual healing. You know, the Bible says that death is not like in our eyes what it is in the eyes of God. The Bible says, "Beautiful are the death of the saints in the eyes of the Lord." The way we look at death, we cry, we mourn, but in the eyes of God, it's beautiful, says the scriptures. Why? Because death is a reunion with Him in heaven. So we need to learn to look at things the way God looks at things. Yeah, he can give you the physical healing, but is it more joy and glory to God if we don't get a physical healing, but yet healed spiritually? God can do it. You know, you're going to die from something, guys. Amen? And if you approach it with that mindset, when you die, you're going to say, God, you didn't heal me. You're going to die eventually. You know, some people in the church today, there's a thing. Well, just if we're laying hands and they're not getting healed, then the Spirit of God's not moving. Really. The Bible says that Jesus went into town and not much miracles were done because many didn't believe. Not only did they not believe, they misunderstood the ministry of healing which Jesus was offering. They didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And Jesus was after their heart, not after their physical healing. He was after their spiritual healing. So guys, surrender all. Jesus, help me. What do you want to help with? A physical thing or something spiritual? Because that's what God is after, the spiritual. Lord, I've been a liar my whole life. I'm tired of lying. Lord, I've been a persecutor of the church my whole life. I'm tired of this, Lord. I surrender, Lord. Lord, I have a bad way of doing things. I have bad habits of this. I struggle with that. Lord, this and this. And you got to come to a point in your life where you're tired of being tired. You're done with it. You're finished with it. I surrender. Don't care if it was a generational thing. I don't care if my daddy did it. My daddy's daddy did it. My daddy's 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 daddy did it. It ends here. And what I pass on to the next generation will be a thing of God. Amen. Will be a tool of the Holy Spirit. I don't care where I came from. I care where I'm going. Hallelujah. Somebody in this wicked, perverse generation has to stand up and say, I know what I was, but I know what God has made me. And there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I say, Jesus. I say, Holy Spirit. I say, Father, receive me now. Amen. Here I am, Lord. I'll go. Send me. I'll go. When all are failing on the left and the right, when they're all falling, you stand in that spirit of Gideon. You stand in that spirit of the prophets. And you say, I'll go, Lord, in the greatest hour of the church, in the history of human civilization, right here, right now. Every devil has been released from the pit of destruction. We have lie after lie, deceit after deceit. Everybody, man, this world is seeing evil unlike ever before. And we have an opportunity, church, to shine brighter than the stars. We're not going to die. We're going to glorify our Father in heaven. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what people say. I'm keeping my faith in Jesus. I'm keeping my hands, my heart in the hands of Jesus. Yes. He gave me a voice to sing. I'm going to sing. He gave me a feet to walk. I'm going to walk. I'm going to do what Jesus called me to do. And Jesus said, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Verse 43. And immediately he received his sight. Immediately God will do it. Immediately God will heal you. Immediately. Now I know there's stages in life. Sometimes you're slower than others in the response of Jesus. But let me tell you something. There is a way which no man can understand. There is a way which God can provide that. He opens doors that no one can open. He shuts doors that no one can shut. And there is a way that he can immediately bring that healing to you. Yes. And all the people, it says here, This man got up and he immediately reached his sight. He followed him. He followed him because he had that physical and that spiritual healing. So he followed Jesus. He glorified God. And all the people, when they saw it, they gave praise to God. Does your life cause people to praise God? Young people, teenagers in this church, old people, listen to me. Does your life cause people to praise God? Answer the question. Are we in the house of truth? Yes. Does your life cause people to praise God? Yes. I see so many sour faces in my life today. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about people in churches, in this church. I know I was once a part of that group. But praise God, I was set free. Amen. All glory to Him. But if we're in the house of God, don't we need to speak the truth? Yes. With love and with compassion? We have that much time left. I believe with all my heart. Now more, I've said it forever, but I'm going to just tell you, I believe it now more than ever. The return of the Lord is imminent. And I know Pastor Jason and I could sit up here at the round table and we could talk theology and doctrine about, well, this has to happen. The Bible says that. Yeah, I understand all of that. But God can do whatever He wants to do because He's God. Amen. And are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready to come before the throne of Jesus and lay all that you did as a Christian at His feet and say, this is how much I loved you, Jesus. And let the fire of the Holy Spirit hit that work. And after that smoke is cleared and after the dust is settled, is there a great treasure at the feet of Jesus that shows how much you really love Jesus? Jesus says, your lips honor me, but your hearts are so far from me. Lord, create in me a new heart. Lord, create in me a steadfast spirit. Lord, let not your spirit depart from me. Help my unbelief, Jesus. Mark 9, 17 through 29. It says, then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. He has a demonic spirit in him. This is a boy. We have so many kids today with demonic spirits in them. I just saw a story last night here in town in Houston, I believe. These two young boys riding their bicycles, and there was a mentally impaired woman sitting by the garage door. They were chatting, saying something. They come back 10 minutes later and they with a knife and they stab her and take off. And these are 10-year-olds. This is our generation today. And guys, this is what the devil is doing. This man said, my son has a mute spirit. I mean, he has a demon in him. Verse 18, he says, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him. See, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth. He gnashes his teeth and he becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples. I told the church. I brought this to the church that they should cast it out. But they could not do it. Churches are powerless. Verse 19, he answered him and he said, oh, faithless generation. Jesus is looking at today. Are we a faithless generation? The Bible says that when Jesus says, when I come, how much faith shall I find on the earth? Jesus said this. And today the church is not concerned about faith. The church is concerned about numbers, about how many people are in the pulpits, about how much money the church can bring in. Yep. Well, all the while, Bible-believing churches like this, we're hanging on and all we're holding on to is because of prayer. And because people will come in and out watching online, you don't want to count the cost and be a part of something that's bigger than you, and that's the body of Christ. Jesus died for this to be alive. Jesus gave his life so that there could be a church that would rise up, a testimony of God, the kingdom of God. Yes. Politically incorrect, we're too afraid to speak truth. He said, oh, faithless generation, verse 19, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I deal with this? How shall I bear with you? Bring the boy to me, verse 20. Then they brought him to Jesus. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him and fell on the ground and wallowed foaming at the mouth. So Jesus asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? Jesus already knew, but Jesus wanted this man, by your words you'll be saved, by your words you'll be condemned. We have to speak life into existence. We have to give accountability. Jesus said, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. Jesus said, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood, verse 22, and often he has thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, God, I don't know if you can or not. God, I don't know if you have time for me or not. You see what I'm saying? That little spirit that I talked about earlier, having that attitude with, oh, God don't want to help me, or I'm not worthy. That's this man right here. Some of us don't come up to the altar knowing we're physically and spiritually sick, but we don't come up to the altar because we have this attitude like this man. If you can help me, God, if not, don't worry, no big deal. I know you got more important things to do, God. Shame. Shame, shame. And sometimes God will allow the enemy to come to your family to get to your heart. Look at Job. Job lost all his children. It wasn't God allowing it, but causing that to happen, but God will allow things to happen because this is life and death. This is real deal. God's after your heart. Satan's after your family and your heart. Surrender to God. Look, let's read this. Verse 22. And he often has thrown him into the fire, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Please, Lord, help me. Verse 23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Are you going to question God? Are you questioning me? Are you serious? See, this is your problem, man. This is the problem that you have. And you've had faith in your livelihood. You've had faith in your children. You forgot to recognize who God is. You've worshipped the wrong things. You've worshipped the creation and not the creator. Immediately the father of the child cried out. But he didn't just, see, there needs to be a cry in the house of God. You hear, see that right there? The father of the child cried and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Doesn't that sound like an oxymoron? Lord, I believe, but help me to believe. At least he was just being honest. You know you need to come to church. You know you need to come to Jesus, but you just still don't. There's a degree in you that where you still don't believe. And when you once finally come to Jesus with tears, with a cry of the shout of the Lord in your heart, that's what's missing in the house of God today. The passion. It was now there in this man. And that's what's missing in the church, the passion of the Lord. And that's what I pray for this Grace Christian Center, that the passion of Christ would come into our hearts once again. Because we strayed so far. We stand up and we'll sing a song like, oh, but when you set free, you can raise your hands. Why? Why? Because there's no spiritual chains on them. So you can raise your hands. You can't raise your hands because the chains are holding them down. Paul said, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands. You see this right here? Watch this. I have a bad shoulder. For several years now, it's bad. But I'll still get the dumbbells. I work out. I try so hard. And sometimes when I got to go like, I use my other hand. I can't bend because of the suits on me, but I can actually get a lot closer. But I do the back curls and I'll do it. And I use this hand to kind of support this. And I do that. And the Lord spoke to me one day. He says, that's good you're doing that, Michael. That's the brothers in Christ. You may not be able to do something, but another one will come up alongside you and help you. I just need that little touch just to help me to pick that up on this side when I'm doing like this, just a little bit. That's the power of fellowship. Ecclesiastes says one strand can be easily broken. Two strands, not as easily. Three strands shall not be broken. Verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up and arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And so Jesus said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Now, I'm going to tell you something, church, and I want you to listen real closely. Are you really a man or woman of prayer and fasting? Because if you're not, God cannot use you for his glory. Because these disciples could not be used for his glory. And that's the main problem we have with the churches today. We're not willing to go into a life of prayer and fasting. And you know what stops you from having a life of prayer and fasting dedicated unto the Lord? Being busy by the world. Being distracted by the world. Being carried by the concerns of the world. Look, I talk about prophecy, Pastor Jason and I, we talk about prophetic things. We talk about end time stuff. Why? Because we're men that understand what it means to pray and to fast. We're not tooting our horn, but the only way we're going to understand these kinds of things is we end up doing the path that Jesus laid out for his church. Pray, fast, and you'll have victory over the devil. Let that sink in. Jesus didn't try for 30 minutes casting the demon out. It happened instantly. Instantly. And that's the God that we serve. In Luke 8:2, it says, "And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come out seven demons." Mary Magdalene had seven demons in her. Seven. John 20:1, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, and while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb." John 20:18. "Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken things to her." So, let's look at Mary Magdalene real quickly. Mary Magdalene was a woman who had seven demons in her. She got healed by Jesus. Okay? Mary Magdalene, according to the scriptures, she was there at the crucifixion. She was there with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and other women. And she stood at first from afar off watching the crucifixion, probably because the Romans would not allow anybody to get close. But as they were on the cross, they began to let people come close, because the Pharisees came by and said, "Ha, look at him now. If he's God, let him call down to get down from there." Right? So everyone started getting close as the hours waned on the cross. Jesus was on the cross. And so Mary Magdalene and Mary, Jesus' earthly mother, they came, and one disciple, a man, John. It doesn't mention any other disciples coming. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was arrested, it said that the disciples scattered. They fled. Not only that, but Peter is the only disciple mentioned that followed Jesus afterwards and watched from afar as they were questioning Jesus and mocking him. He watched from afar. He was in the outer courts. And he was watching. And that's where he denied Christ three times. And the Bible says that when he did that, he went away and wept bitterly. He went away. He went so far away. And so it was the women that followed Jesus' ministry. They were there closer. They were there. Mary Magdalene was the first one to go early in the morning and to see that the stone where they had laid Jesus in the tomb was gone. She looked. His body's not there. She looked, and she saw two angels with some other women that were with her. And she's like, "Whoa, my goodness." She ran to the disciples and said, "Hey, guys." She went into the upper room, because that's where they all were, in the upper room. And she goes, "Hey, Jesus' body is gone." She goes back again, and she thinks she's talking to the gardener, but it's Jesus. And she rejoices, and she grabs him, and he said, "No, don't touch me yet. I have to ascend to my Father, but just go tell the guys I've risen." She is the first one to see the resurrected Savior according to the Bible. Amen? If you're forgiven much, you'll love much. Jesus tells the church in Revelation chapter 2, the very first thing he finds wrong with the church, he says, you've abandoned your first love. Come back to your first love, me. And my final scripture, I want to read Luke 7:36. In Luke 7:36, I'm just going to read it all the way through, okay? Bear with me for a moment. Then one of the Pharisees asked him, Jesus, to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house, and he sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. And she stood at his feet behind Jesus, weeping. And she began to wash Jesus' feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. And now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, he would know who and what manner this woman is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. She was most likely a prostitute. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. Verse 41, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And Jesus said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and he said to Simon, you see this woman? I entered your house, he says to Peter. I entered your house, Simon. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Why do I give this story? Because this woman was saying, Jesus, help me, please. You know, some people have told me that the gospel doesn't appeal to men. It's feminine. And there could be a big bicker argument about that, right? But I disagree. Because I have gone into the prisons for 4.5 years in prison ministry. And the message that I would always speak would bring these men to tears and to their knees. And not only that, but when I read the book of Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that they were pierced to their hearts because of the preaching of the gospel message. And Peter said, repent, every one of you. And so I think the danger is that a lot of people try and think they need to change the gospel to appeal to people today. I disagree. I think if we preach the word of God to people who are calling out for help, you're going to see true conversion. You're going to see true salvation. You're going to see, because there's true repentance. And Jesus will help you. This woman cried out. Was this woman Mary Magdalene? We don't know, but it very well could have been. This woman, she surrendered. She gave everything. Look, it's your actions that speak who Jesus is in your life. She got up so early, it was dark, to go to the tomb of Jesus. She had to be there as they were crucifying Jesus. She had to be there. Her eyes had to see this. She couldn't get her eyes off of the Lord. even as they were beating and crucifying him. Look, he's not crucified no more. Don't get your eyes off of Jesus as you now go through the trials and temptations, as Christ did. Don't keep your eyes off of the Lord. Keep them on the Lord. Be in the presence of the Lord. Wake up early and seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. All these men, Peter, James, John, the apostles, they all left their livelihoods, their families, to follow Jesus. You don't have to do that. You don't have to quit your job. You don't have to abandon your families to follow Jesus. But the teaching that we do have to have today is that nothing can come before Jesus. There is a place for everything in your life, but Jesus must come first, or nothing will make sense in your life. Grace Christian Center, we need help. Jesus, please help us. There are people in this church that need to surrender to the Lord so that they could be of use to the Lord. There's no joy. You're contemplating whether you should stay or go. If God planted you, don't you know you'll not be uprooted? Don't you know that you'll be who God called you to be? You'll have victory? Jesus, please help me. Let that be your prayer every single morning. But don't let your feet hit the ground in doubt and unbelief. Jesus, please help me. And as your feet hit the ground, begin to walk in victory. Begin to walk by faith. And you will see God's will come to pass. Humble yourself before the great King of heaven and earth, and he shall meet your every need.